you've all been waiting for.
It's time again for another episode of the Sticker Podcast with your hosts, Nikki and Steven.
Yo, 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 what is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Sticker Podcast. It has been so long. I can't believe it. Holy cow, we need to get back into this because I absolutely love talking about the things that we love. We've got another podcast for you. Hopefully in 2020, we could get more of these going on. But we have been so busy lately. We started a Twitch channel. We are playing video games on stream. Sticker Gaming is the name of that. You can go check it out if you're interested in that kind of thing and hanging out with us. It's a lot of fun. Generally, I'm over on the sticks and Nikki is clowning me, making fun of my gameplay, talking with the chat, hanging out with the people. It is always a really, really good time. And you know, it's just been wild. The YouTube channel is just, like, we hit 100,000 subscribers over there. We've been cranking out a lot of really good videos, and just, it's been insane. It's been a really, really busy schedule, and something just had to, like, we just didn't have time to keep doing the podcast every week. And, you know, it's tough because we were having so much fun with it, and it is definitely something that I want to try to get back in 2020. Just talking about things that we love, whether it's something like today's video talking about Star Wars, and I am flying solo today, so you could call me Steve Solo. How about that? But yeah, it's just me today. I'm talking expectations for Star Wars, and you know, there could be more things like this, just finding really cool things to talk about, whether it's me and Nikki together. We could have guests, we could figure this out. The Sticker Podcast is something that I want to bring back, and it's something that I want to do on a consistent basis, because this is great. Talking and having fun conversations is just great. I love it. But let's just jump into this. So expectations. People don't like expectations. Personally, I love setting expectations. It's kind of like a little game. You know, you create a list of stuff that you expect going into a movie. And regardless if it hits those, if it doesn't hit those, in my brain, in my mind, I can kind of still enjoy the movie if it doesn't hit my expectations, if they do things right. It's not a matter of like, oh, I wanted this to happen and this happened. Movies suck. Like, I don't go into stuff like that. I go into things with I attempt to go in with as much of an open mind as possible. And I'm doing the same thing with Rise of Skywalker. I'm going in with a very open mind. I did not like a couple of the other movies, not because of expectations that I set. I just didn't like what they did in the movie. It wasn't because I expected this or wanted this. They actually did a lot in specifically Last Jedi that I actually liked. And it was just certain story points that didn't land for me. And that's really it. Like, comedy didn't land for me. Some other stuff didn't land for me. But we're not going to talk about that. We're not looking backwards. We're looking forwards. We're talking about expectations. Episode 9. When all of this started, my excitement for this movie was like all the way up here. I was super jacked, really excited for it. But then days started passing. We started getting closer. December creeped in. And we literally started getting a billion TV spots. And then we got like an actual like scene from the movie where like they fly now. Like, yeah. And all of that kind of started knocking my kind of excitement down a little. I get coming off of Solo, which is in terms of all of the Star Wars, Disney Star Wars movies, was not the most successful based off of box office. But you don't need to promote and have this much promotion around a Star Wars movie. At least that's kind of where my mind is personally. Like, this is the last movie of this saga. I think people are going to go watch it, whether you did 20 TV spots or not. That just kind of makes me nervous because I was always under the impression that bad movies do that much promotion and do that much stuff. And I'm not expecting this to be a bad movie. It could definitely be a bad movie. It could definitely fail and do too much, or it could even like do too little, which is something that we're going to talk about with all these expectations. I have 9, so let's jump into it. I got 9 expectations for episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. Let's see what we got. Let's go. So before we jump into the really big topic, probably the number one talking point of what people could be expecting going into episode 9, we need to talk about Anakin Skywalker. We're gonna dive real way deeper into him as part of the next expectation, but I'm at like a 75% level of not expecting him in this movie, and you know that's one of those things where I'm losing faith that he's gonna be in it, and I'll be honest, there are a small list of things that if they don't happen, I'm gonna be let down. and got to go in with an open mind and not be super expecting of this. But I don't know how you wrap up the Skywalker saga without Anakin Skywalker. I just don't see how you can do that. And it's one of those things that from the moment that this movie was written and thought about, as a director in my brain or a creator of this, like, I would have been like, how do we get Anakin in here? We need to get Hayden Christensen back. Anakin Skywalker needs to be in this movie. And that leads us right into the next point, which is Kylo Ren's redemption. And I could almost with certainty say that this is probably 100% going to happen. And I've been on record many times that I don't want this to happen. I don't think it should happen. It's not that it can't. And I've kind of been stubborn about him in the past. Like, oh, he killed Han Solo. He can't ever be redeemed. I've shifted on that a little bit. Anybody can be redeemed with the right storytelling without question. But I don't... It's one of those things where... And I think a lot of what this movie is setting up, it just needs to be done right. And again, just like any redemption stories are hard to tell. They're not easy. And just the idea that, like, we've seen in two movies now, Kylo Ren fully committing to the dark side. And he started by killing his father, which Han Solo is one of the most iconic characters in cinema. And he's amazing. And Harrison Ford is a G, and he's spectacular, and he killed him. And that's a really dastardly deed and really bad. And it's like, holy shit, you're an asshole, and you're fully embracing the dark side. And that alone makes it hard for people to ever want to trust Kylo Ren or like him or root for him. And that's fine. And that's kind of where my brain was at. But again, there's other shows, other movies, other things where I've shifted on characters just because they told the story right. Just tell the story right. Just tell the story right. And it works. But then we go into The Last Jedi, and he doubled down. Like, he doubled down. He had a chance to, like, he killed Snoke. He had a chance to partner up with Rey and do this thing the right way and finally be redeemed. And I don't know if that would have been enough to do it, but that could have been like a stepping stone in the right direction, but he turned that down. Okay, fine. Strike two. Now we move later in the movie, and he doesn't know that Luke is not really there in front of him, and he orders the blast, like, they blow him to smithereens if he was really there. And so, like, that for me was like strike three. Like, all right, this dude is fully on board to being a dark side Sith. I don't know if they use Sith anymore. I don't know if that's a thing. They should, because it's dope. But yeah, he fully embraced the dark side. And to me, his redemption is a hard story to tell. And in my brain, obviously they've got writers and directors and all these other people in a room creating and writing this movie. I can only think of one way his redemption story works. And I've talked about this, whether it was on stream or on other Star Wars videos. Anakin Skywalker needs to be there to tell him, this is not right. And we're going to talk about Palpatine in a minute. But if Kylo's being controlled by the Emperor or whatever situation that he's in. And again, the story could be completely different. Kylo could be punking them this entire time and being like, oh, I'm not really that. Like, killing Han Solo, would be a horrible way to kill your father and one of the best characters ever. But, like, I'm just assuming that the Emperor is controlling Kylo. And, you know, Anakin needs to come to him and be like, look, he did the same thing to me. I was never meant to be bad. And, you know, Kylo probably knows that Anakin became Anakin again at the end and Vader wasn't the bad guy at the end. But still, this whole worshiping the helmet and all this stuff about finishing what you started and... You know, I think Anakin needs to really have, he needs to, like, we already seen him as a Force ghost. We know that he's there. We know he's capable of doing it. He needs to show up to Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, and tell him just point blank, you're making a mistake. You need to do this and have a really strong heart to heart. And that could start being the building block to him being redeemed. I would love that so much if Anakin came back, had a conversation with Kylo, and used that as the vehicle to kind of
him becoming redeemed. In my mind, that's the only thing that could happen. It can't just be a matter of like, oh, well, Rey, you know, she's beaten me a bunch of times in a row and I'm just going to, okay, I'm done with this. I'm going to join up with her. Or she's really cute and I want to fall in love. Like, I love her. Like, it needs to be more than that for me. It can't just be because of the way he's tripled down on becoming this dark side user, this Sith Lord, this all-empowering emperor or supreme emperor or whatever they're going to call him. There needs to be a deeper story. It can't just be like, oh, well, Rey beat me up. I love her now. Like, Snoke connected us through the Force in the last movie, so now I have a special connection to her and I love her. Like, it needs to be way more than that, in my opinion. That's just me. I think that might be a sweet love story to a lot of people. But the whole Kylo Ren falling in love with Rey just because, like, that doesn't land for me. I want Anakin Skywalker. If we're wrapping up and connecting all the movies, I want Anakin back. I want Hayden Christensen back. And I need him talking to Kylo Ren to start that redemption. All right, let's talk about Palpatine, because it's impossible to not talk about Palpatine in this type of video. I'm expecting a lot of Palpatine, and this could be really dangerous. The way that they're promoting him, starting all the way back to Star Wars Celebration, where they showed the trailer and then Ian McDiarmid came out and was like, run it again. And then, like, all the promotion leading up to it, like, it's basically been narrated by him. He's been on, like, the first poster, just his whole face is, like, the whole poster. Like, they're really setting up something big with him, and I think that's really dangerous. Because that's an expectation that they're creating. That's not something that's in my own brain or in anyone else's brain or any other fan's brain or critic's brain or anything else. They're setting the expectation that Palpatine is a big player in this movie. And if he's only in like 10 minutes at the end, oh boy, be careful, because that is going to be a really big issue. I'm expecting a lot. I'm expecting him to be essentially the mastermind behind all of this. He was the vehicle for Snoke, whatever Snoke is, or whatever that whole story is going to become. But, like, he's always been the one in the background, kind of pulling the strings and doing all the things leading up to where we are now. I don't know how. I don't know what they do. But you need to explain how and why he's back. It doesn't need to be elaborate. It doesn't need to be, like, 45 minutes of the movie. You don't even need to give us any kind of flashback. Just have the Emperor Palpatine just say something. Just in a conversation with, like, Rey or Kylo or maybe Force Ghost Luke. Who the hell knows what's going on there. But just have a quick, just be like, hey, this happened. I did this. I was able to do this. And now I'm here and I was doing this, this, and this. Boom. Done. Just explain it. That's one of those things where you're messing with a really, really big piece of canon history. Probably one of the greatest moments in Star Wars, when Anakin, Darth Vader, throws the Emperor down the chute and saves Luke. And then we lead off into this big giant celebration and many, many, many years of peace and the Sith not being around and, you know, the galaxy being a better place. That is not something you want to mess with, in my opinion. If they somehow ruin the end of Return of the Jedi because they wanted to bring Palpatine back just for shits and giggles, just for fanfare, just to service this fandom, and to tell this quick story with him at the end, like, hey, he didn't die. He actually figured out how to way to live and this and that. Like, that is a really dangerous thing to be playing with. And again, just give us a really great explanation. We've seen this happen before with Darth Maul. We saw him get sliced in half. He fell down a big thing and he came back to life. And, you know, we've seen Luke fall great distances, no problem. But, like, we've seen people survive and these Force users survive these falls before. And Palpatine's way stronger than Maul. So if Maul could survive getting sliced in half and falling down a shaft, I think Palpatine could figure it out. But again, they just need to tell the story right. Because if they don't tell the story right, now you're messing with Return of the Jedi and everything that happened there. And I am one that I believe that his return doesn't ruin that if they tell the story properly, just because of all the actions that still took place afterwards. Like, that doesn't diminish the act. Like, everything still happened. Vader was redeemed. Anakin became a Force ghost. Luke went on to be Luke. And, you know, everything for a while was happily ever after. until, you know, things changed, and apparently he came back to change it again. So again, just tell the story right. Expectations are pretty high on Palpatine. I want him to be a key figure in this movie just because of the way they've promoted him. He's narrated most of the trailers, like his voice is always there, and yeah, I just think he needs to be there. Otherwise, that's one of those things that could be a really big problem for the fan base in general. Very little Palp, really big problem. Luke is dead. I am 150% expecting him to still be dead. Even though the promotion of this movie hasn't shown him once, that is kind of curious why they wouldn't do that. But he's dead. He's gone. He's moved on to the Force. And, you know, I think it's fine. I'm okay with his death. It's not what I wanted from the last movie, especially with the way his character was handled. It's not what I wanted, but it's okay. Like, it's fine. He doesn't need to be a physical being to be a key player in this movie, or even to be powerful. You know, like, Obi-Wan even said it in A New Hope. It was like, I'm going to become more powerful than you could ever imagine. Like, especially with what Rian Johnson established in The Last Jedi, where now Force ghosts can use Force lightning and destroy things. Like, Luke could be a really powerful being in this movie because, you know, the precedent has been set. And obviously Luke's not as strong as Yoda as I don't think he is, at least. And Yoda's been a Force ghost many years longer than Luke at this point. So maybe he learned a trick. Maybe he could teach him a trick or two. But yeah, like, Luke being dead and being a Force ghost in this movie, I hope we get a lot of him. I'm perfectly okay with it. I still think he could be a massive player in this movie without physically being there. Like, he could physically be there as a Force ghost helping guide Rey and do all that stuff. And I hope, again, I've talked about a scene that I don't remember where I heard it or where who gets the credit for this, but an opening scene to this movie would absolutely, like, I get chills when I talk about it. The idea, like, we've never seen, like, the Force afterlife in the actual movies. I think it would be dope if we, like, the movie started from the perspective of Luke, like, waking up in this Force afterlife and, like, seeing Mace Windu and Yoda and Obi-Wan and Anakin and, like, seeing all these folks, and they kind of gather together and be like, Luke, it's okay, you're here, you're with us, we're gonna teach you how to, like, it kind of sets the stage for his ability to help Rey. Because, I mean, we've been set from the prequels, I don't know how much we're supposed to hold on to this, that you have to learn and train. Like, Qui-Gon had to learn and train to kind of cross over into the life to become a Force ghost. I would love to see some of that. That would be super dope. I know this movie's not really long, and there's only one movie left to tell this story, but I think it would be dope if we got a glimpse of Luke learning from all of those past, like, Force ghosts. Like, I think that would be super dope. But him, he's dead. 100% expecting it. The promotion of this movie kind of leaves like a 0.5% of me thinking, like, oh, well, why has he not been seen once in any of the promotion? And maybe there's another TV spot that I haven't seen that they show him. Who knows? Because there's been a lot. I haven't seen all of them. But yeah, like, the idea that he's alive, I don't need it. I don't want it. He's dead. Let's leave it that way. And that's what I'm expecting. All right, let's talk about Princess Leia, because this is another one of those hot button topics that I think they're handling the situation correctly. I don't know how I would feel if they used CGI to bring Leia into this movie. JJ's using old footage from the old movies that he's shot. And I'm really interested to see how this plays out. I really don't know what to expect here. We've seen her in a few of the TV spots, and there was even one with her holding Luke's lightsaber, it looked like. And, you know, I'm not going to read too much into that. Like, she could just be hanging out with Rey or something. Like, she could just be holding onto it. I don't foresee her doing anything crazy with the Force. And, I mean, as long as she's not flying through space like Mary Poppins, I think I'll be happy with whatever they do with her. I think JJ is going to give her a really good send-off and give her a good kind of closure to her story. And I think that might be one of the most emotional things in this movie. Just hearing all the news about what this movie was going to be with Princess Leia and just what the plans were, it's really heartbreaking to hear, just because she was supposed to be like the focal point and she was going to be the last Jedi and all this stuff. And, you know, it's really funny because one of the trailers, there's like a wide shot of Rey out in the forest training, and it, like, I could have sworn, like, one of the shots, like, subtly really looked like her, but I think that's been debunked at this point, that it's, the whole thing was Rey. But the way that Princess Leia is treated, like, she's going to get a great send-off. I really hope that it's done right. I'm really fascinated to see where this goes, because I honestly have no... like, my expectations are really low for what to expect with her, just because I don't know how this works. I don't know how they pull old footage and incorporate it into a current storyline. That seems like a really challenging thing to write in terms of just story, but they're going to do it. They're going to pull this off. I hope they give her a really good send-off. That's really all I care about, is I want a really good send-off for her. I'm expecting her to die. I think that would make the most sense. Or if she lives, then okay, that's cool too. Like, again, like, my expectations aren't really high on this matter. I think a proper Star Wars funeral farewell type thing would be an insanely emotional, just like, okay, get out the tissues, who the fuck's cutting onions over there, what's going on type moment, where we could finally say goodbye to Princess Leia. I think that would be a really good thing to do. And again, if she lives, then she's standing tall, triumphant at the end of this saga, which, again, that would be really dope too. So I'm really not sure what to expect. I just hope they do it right, and I hope it works. That's really all I care about. I don't want to see Leia flying through space again. Like, I don't want, like, do subtle force abilities if they're going to give her stuff to do. But yeah, I don't know if she's going to use the lightsaber. I don't know if she was just looking at it to remember Luke. I don't know what the situation is there. But yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll see. And not sure really where to go from there, because I'm just excited to see what they do with Princess Leia. I am still, without question, 100% expecting Rey's parents to be what they told us in the Last Jedi. I think her parents 100% are going to be nobody. I think that keeps Rian Johnson's story intact. JJ doesn't have to go in and completely retcon it and kind of just be like, oh, well, no, Kylo was just lying. Her parents are actually Luke. Like, you don't need to do that. It's fine. But that doesn't mean that her grandparents weren't somebody important or special. I don't know what my expectation level is for this, but I could totally see Palpatine or Obi-Wan or someone along those lines around that age or whatever being a grandparent to her. Somebody, like, I could totally see, and it might not even matter, because the story now is that anybody could be Force user. The Force is just jumping into people, which is fine, whatever. I have my own thoughts about that whole situation, but it's fine. Rey is now the super powerful Force user. It doesn't have to be all connected through family. But having Obi-Wan as a grandparent or Palpatine, like, this whole story about Rey going, like, we've seen a couple shots of her being bad and going dark. I think that would be absolutely amazing. I think that would be a hell of a story. I don't think Disney would do it because of how important Rey is as a character to really merchandise and all that other stuff. Like, she's the main character of this series, and it's a really challenging thing to turn someone like that bad, because then all the kids and everybody will kind of not like her anymore because she's a bad guy. She did something bad. But if she was, like, somehow the descendant of Palpatine and ends up turning bad, that would be, talk about a ballsy, risky move. Like, that would be really big, and I think it would be absolutely amazing. I think it would be a hell of a swerve. But yeah, like, I'm putting my expectation really low about this. I don't think JJ is going to mess with it or screw with what Rian did in the last movie. I think Rey's parents are going to be nobody. I fully expect probably her grandparents to be nobody. And I really hope that she wasn't some kind of clone or creation of Palpatine like Anakin was. Let's do, like, an original, like, just keep the original story, like, keep it original. Don't rehash something else. Don't redo something else. I'm perfectly fine with it. It is what it is at this point. And, you know, it would be cool if one of her grandparents was somebody special, but if not, it's fine. And please, 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 please don't let her be Kira's daughter. Don't let her be Kira's daughter, which would make her Han's daughter, which would then make Han, like, a cheater and, like, cheating on Leia. Like, I don't like that story. Like, I read that rumor a long time ago, and I don't like it one bit. I hope that's not the case. Worst case scenario, keep it as it is. Best case scenario, make her, like, Sheev Palpatine's granddaughter. I think that'd be dope. Snoke is dead. Snoke is gonna stay dead. Snoke apparently was never meant to be a major character or player in the story, which is fine. Again, I thought his death was silly. Just the idea that he's controlling, like, he's connecting these two people through the Force, controlling their minds, but he can't sense Kylo killing him. That was one of those things that just didn't land for me. And I don't know. He, unless he's Plagueis, which is something I was expecting going into the last movie, which would have been super dope. For all we know now at this point, it could have been Palpatine who is Plagueis. Like, that would be a really interesting twist too. They didn't introduce Plagueis in the prequels just for shits and giggles. Like, I feel like they did it for a reason, and it was a story that's worth telling, and that it makes all the sense in the world as to why Palpatine could come back to life if he is either Plagueis or he really did learn from his master how to, you know, cheat death or whatever. But in regards to Snoke, he's dead. I don't think he's coming back. I don't know what the possibilities or reasons for him coming back. If Palpatine is the main villain in this movie, then there's no need for Snoke. And Snoke could have just essentially been a vehicle for Palpatine to get what he needed and to build up and basically get healthy to the point where he could present himself as like, hey, all right, here I am. Let's do this now. I had extremely high expectations for Snoke as a character because he was different. He was badass. He looked really cool and unique. And I thought he could have been a really, really great bad guy. But, you know, Rian Johnson had different thoughts, and that's fine. And we are here now for, you know, if Palp's the main guy, cool. He's cooler than, like, Palpatine's one of the best characters in all of Star Wars. So, like, the fact that he's back as a villain, it's fine. I fully 100%, maybe even, like, one, you can't go above 100%, but 150% expecting Snoke to still be dead and for there to not be other Snoke types around. Like, Snoke is it. He's dead. Let's move on. He did his job. Now Palpatine could emerge and take over. That's what I am expecting. Getting close to wrapping this up, let's talk about Force Ghosts. I want all the Force Ghosts. I'm expecting all of the Force Ghosts. Give me more Yoda. Give me Obi-Wan. Give me Anakin. Give me Qui-Gon Jinn. Give me Mace Windu. Give me all the Force Ghosts. We're wrapping up this thing. Whether it's even just a shot like at Return of the Jedi where they're just all lined up like celebrating something, give me all the Force. Like, I'm getting chills just talking about seeing all of them. Like, give me all of them. I don't expect all of them, because like I said, I'm not really expecting Anakin to show up, but I'm expecting a lot of them. I want a lot of Force Ghosts in this. I want to see Qui-Gon again. I want to see Mace Windu again. I want to see Obi-Wan again. Like, give it to me. Give me all the Force Ghosts. That is what I'm expecting. That's what I'm looking forward to. And yeah, I hope we get it, because I think that could be a really kind of tearjerker moment of having a reunion of all the past Jedi that we have seen in this movie and them celebrating together and having a really great moment. And yeah, I want Jedi. I want Force Ghosts. And finally, this is a newer one that has kind of popped up recently because of Disney Plus. And you know, I am not expecting The Mandalorian to play a factor in this movie. There's been speculation that like Baby Yoda could show up and save the day or something. Like, no, stop it. I don't expect it. Like, the timeline is a really difficult. This is the kind of thing with storytelling that gets really hard, because we've got these pieces of property that are 100% canon. They shouldn't be messed with. And like, weaving in stories between all of them is really hard to do. So obviously The Mandalorian takes place after Return of the Jedi. I think it's like 6-7 years after that takes place. And we've had two movies like post that time period already. And it gets really tricky, because how do you incorporate it? How do you make it relevant with, like, because it's a big time jump. If it's like 7 years after Return of the Jedi, then it's probably like, I don't know. I'm told there'd be no math, and I'm going to stick to that. But I'm trying to, let's see if my math is right here. So it would probably be around 20 years. The Mandalorian is about 20 years prior to The Force Awakens. I think that's what I'm going with in my head. So it'd be really hard. Obviously, Yoda, or the baby Yoda creature, it's not Yoda, we don't know yet. Obviously, the baby Yoda creature would be probably more grown up, maybe a little bit, because it's still an infant at 50, so another 20 years wouldn't really make, again, we don't know what the growth acceleration is for the creature, but it would still be a baby, basically, based off of that math, which, again, I don't know. Let me know. Whoa. what you think about that. If I'm off on the timeline a little bit, let me know. But yeah, I'm not expecting the Mandalorian to have anything crazy show up. I'm not expecting the Mandalorian to show up in this movie. The timeline is just doesn't really fit. It's too hard to interweave these stories without screwing with canon. And I hope they honor that and keep it sacred, because it is really important, regardless of like Rebels or the books or even Clone Wars, like certain things that happen. They should really stick to it and not mess with it too much, because I know a couple things have kind of been tweaked here and there. But yeah, 100%, I don't expect Mandalorian to have any impact or anything. Maybe a tiny little callback to something that maybe the fans that are watching this show will appreciate. Kind of like hearing Syndulla in Rogue One, but or seeing Chopper or seeing Ghost flying by. Something like that, maybe. Something really subtle. But again, I'm 100% not expecting the Mandalorian to have any impact or anything on The Rise of Skywalker. All right, guys, that's going to do it. That's my list of 9 expectations for Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. I can't believe we're at this point. Like, it's really crazy to think that 40 plus years of Star Wars is getting wrapped up in a matter of days. It is just so crazy to me. I am so excited for this. I know my expectations have been kind of taken down a little bit from the promotion of this. But regardless, the more I think about the end of this saga, the more I do just kind of get like, oh, it's over. Like, the nostalgia is going to get really, it's going to hit really hard. Like, Star Wars has been an absolute massive part of my life growing up. I love it. It's my favorite piece of content of anything, whether it's movies, books, TV shows, anything. Star Wars is always going to be at my top, and regardless if I'm critical of it or not, whether I like certain things or not, I'm critical of the things I love most. And if I didn't care, I wouldn't get all fired up about it. And it's really important to me. I love it. I'm very interested to see how JJ's going to wrap up the story. I hope it's done well. I hope it's a great movie. My expectations are that it's going to be good. I love what JJ did with The Force Awakens. I think he could take this home and wrap up this story. I'm really hopeful. It's really sad to think about that generations of people who have been watching this Star Wars story play out coming to an end. That's so crazy to me. And it's like, wow. Like, I wasn't alive for all of the movies, but I've been alive for pretty much all of them. I mean, I've got an older brother. So, like, he had all this stuff, and he introduced me to Star Wars when I was a baby, and, you know, my parents, obviously. Since I could remember, like, Christmas's opening Star Wars toys, like, I remember that stuff and playing with all the stuff. So, it's been a massive part of my life. It's not going to end now, because obviously Disney's going to keep making content, and they've got Disney Plus. They've got an Obi-Wan show coming. They got a Cassian Andor show coming. We've got another trilogy apparently coming. We've got plenty of Star Wars to keep kind of getting excited about. But this story, as they're calling it, the Skywalker saga, is coming to a close. Wow. That's really sad. Really crazy. And we will catch you next time. Have a good one. May the Force be with you. Always.
You've been listening to The Sticker Podcast with your hosts, Nikki and Steven. Follow them at Nikki Steve React on Instagram and Twitter.